This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.
Welcome to Chats with the Chatfields. This is a podcast to expand your idea of what impacts veterinarians, pet owners, and basically all animal lovers in the galaxy is humans. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Jen the Vet.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
If you have not yet subscribed to our show,
why not?
Just go to chatfieldshow.com and subscribe today. And if you want to reach us and you've got a lovely message that's full of positive thoughts, you can find me at jen@chatfieldshow.com.
And once again, for everybody else who has real tough questions and real hard, wants real hard answers, you can email me at jason@chatfieldshow.com.
Okay, into the chat room we go. But Jason, it's a little bit empty in here today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's scary, scary stuff, empty room. What's going to happen?
I know. So it's another
episode. Either nothing's going to happen or I don't have any idea if you're bringing in a guest host or what's happening. I have no idea. Just not used to it. I'm at a loss.
I know. As per the usual, Jason's not really sure what's going on. But today is another episode of what we like to call Chatfield's Differentials. Just as a veterinarian or a physician may make a list of likely differential diagnoses in a complicated case, we like to make a list of things that are provoking thoughts from us, stuff that's interesting that's going on. Yeah.
And so, it's interesting you said veterinarians and physicians, right? A little foreshadowing going on, right? So human doctors and animal doctors kind of go through the same process, right? And by differential diagnosis, that's a giant two words that maybe people don't know. That means things it could be. Things it might be. Whatever problem you're having, things it could be, right?
Yep.
So anyways.
Okay, so
what do you got? Because I don't throw that at me. I'm throwing it back at you. What do we got?
Yeah, okay. So this has been driving me a little batty lately. I listen to other podcasts sometimes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were other podcasts, but good for you.
Okay. So there's a big fluff going on because Joe Rogan on his podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience, which is a great show.
Yeah, very popular, by the way.
Yeah. So there was this big debate between him and Sanjay Gupta. Yeah, who is the medical correspondent and a medical doctor for one of the major networks. I think it's NBC, but I'm not sure. Anyway, and so they had this big whoop-de-doo, big kerfuffle about...
I was going to say, call it a kerfuffle.
It was a kerfuffle, right? Because even though Dr. Gupta was guesting on the Joe Rogan Experience, Joe Rogan kind of went at him hard and said that the network had misrepresented some of the medications he'd been prescribed for treatment for COVID-19. And then, of course, the next morning on all the news shows, we had to hear it again and again and again and yet again. We heard about this whole kerfuffle that went on because they were talking about, is ivermectin a horse dewormer? Is ivermectin a human treatment?
Did Joe Rogan give himself some horse dewormer, right?
Right.
That's the big deal. And that's what they said, right? Whoever said it just like that, right?
They did. And then here's the other thing, right? I don't want to quote the 90s, but not that there's anything wrong with that. Right?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So that's been driving me nuts because in one of my former lives, I gave continuing education lectures to the medical staff of human hospitals routinely, right?
You gave continuing ed to human doctors?
I did. Yep.
Wow, that's cool. I love it. It's crossover. It's great.
It's crossover. That's right. Yeah. Well, because one of the truths these days in our universe is that in the entire universe, there's only one pot of drugs. There's not like, these are horse drugs and these are people drugs and these are pig drugs. Right. And there's just drugs.
Right.
And a lot of drugs that we use in veterinary medicine are precisely the same as what they use in medicine.
Right. That's actually shocking when clients or friends or especially if you've ever worked at a zoo, because you tend to use a lot of different stuff like that. And they're like, you can give that. I give that to my baby. You giving that to this okapi? I'm like, yeah, what's the point? Right. But I get it. If you're not in the first time you realize that is a little shocking, right? People tend to think compartmentalized. Humans have their own special thing. And then animals have their own special thing, which is not even not even close to right. So
no, but I'll tell you the most shocking component of these conversations for me is when I'm standing in an exam room and, you know, I diagnose a bacterial infection in a dog, for, let's say, and the dog is owned by a physician, and the physician, I'll say, okay, so I'm going to send you home with some Clavamox, right? Yeah. For your, and that's the other thing. Drugs have so many different names. So you have Clavamox in the
part of the world.
And then in the human world, the same exact drug is called Augmentin.
Right.
And so I usually say to people, whether they're physicians or not, I'll say, you know, it's Augmentin for your dog. Right. And if it's a physician, inevitably they'll say, wait, what?
No way.
It's the same? Is that kind of like what I prescribe? And I said, no, doctor, it's precisely right. What you prescribe. Right. What?
Right.
But I'm the only very, very special person who can...
In this room, right? Right. Well, also, a lot of it is, we deal, like, I'm not trying to poo-poo any field of work, but it seems to me, and I'm not in this world, but in the human physician world, they really deal with trade names.
They do.
You know, they say Kleenex versus tissue,
right?
Coke instead of soda or whatever. And yes, that's how they, so they get used to doing that. And again, we are all human. They sometimes forget exactly that Augmentin is actually amoxicillin and clavulanic acid, which, mm-hmm, which is more aptly named Clavamox. I can't forget that. Right. But it's the same exact drug, right?
Yes.
Formulated maybe a little bit differently or less concentrated or whatever. So
yes, 100%. And that, you know what, that is also interesting. So when I would find myself talking with human physicians, I would have that issue, because in veterinary medicine, right? Like Jason, we had to learn the trade name. We had to learn the drug name.
Everything.
We had to learn the, you know, the compound. And then we had to learn all of the different concentrations and formulations that each of them are available in, right? And that is something that is different sometimes between the human formulation of a drug versus the veterinary, is because the concentration may be different. Certainly, they can add things to it to potentiate or enhance the activity of the drug. Right. And that's why we should say at the outset of this, you should never give your drugs to your pet, and you should never take your pet's drugs.
Right. Yeah, only take drugs as prescribed by your physician, mm-hmm, and only give your pet's drug as prescribed by your veterinarian. We should probably have said that in the beginning, and we'll say it again at the end, right?
Yes.
Because we're talking about it because we deal with this as an everyday thing. What's, mm-hmm, also interesting and funny to me, and this is sort of off topic, I know, but it's still funny, is the way they dose medicine in the other world, right?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
It is a little bit different than the way we're really, really concerned about weight, right? And milligrams per kilogram, and that's how
okay.
we do it.
But, Dr. Jason? Yeah. Some of us are more concerned about weight than others.
Obviously.
At all times.
Oh, okay, I get it. Ha ha, you're so funny. But in any case, when you're dosing it, but the humans, man, they dose per kid. They dose on age.
That's crazy.
It's very different, right? And it works for them, and that's what they're taught to do, so that's fine. But it's the first time you get that, you're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. You didn't even weigh this child, and you're just going to give it this much? And if you look on over-the-counter stuff, it's always by weight. So it is, mm-hmm, you know, the way you give it might be different, right? For sure.
I think also, okay, not only the way you give it, because please don't ever hide any medication for me in a piece of...
In some cheese?
Like, no.
That's a good point.
Don't do that.
Hey, Dr. Jen, it's good for you. You'll love it.
Please don't ever poke it down my throat. But not only that, but sometimes the frequency of dosing, so how often we take it during in a day, or for how long we might take it, those sorts of things. Because imagine in the veterinary world, I deal with dogs and cats, who have one metabolic rate, right? Their metabolism works at one rate, and it's actually pretty similar to ours. But then I also deal with birds who typically, not always, have a much faster metabolic rate. And then wait for it. We deal with those things that some people mistake for rocks called giant tortoises. Their metabolic rate is much slower. And wait, what about sloth? Their metabolic
rate. Everything sloths do is slow.
Yeah. Yes, right? Whereas you might give something twice a day in dog, you're going to give that to a sloth once every 2 days.
Right. All right. I'm glad you brought that. By metabolic rate, you mean how fast they break down whatever you're giving them, whatever, yes, you know, the drug or whatever, to become the active ingredient, become effective. So sloths do everything. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Everything slow, especially if they're at the, working the DVM counter. But anyway,
yes,
so
the DMV.
Yeah. Yeah, not the DVM counter, right? No, the veterinary counter. I'm sorry. The DMV counter. Right? Same letters, whatever.
Yeah, no. Whatever. At the DMV. Yeah. So, well, I guess that's what's been driving me nuts is I'm watching all of this stuff. And it kind of started last year when the that International Evidence-Based Medicine Group came out with some data that they published regarding the use of some drugs that are not labeled for use in people for the purpose of COVID-19.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but the evidence-based medicine group came out with some data, which means they had X number of cases that they treated this way, and this is what happened. That's the evidence. Yeah. They had hearings on Capitol Hill about it. And in the United States, they kept using this word. They kept saying, we don't want to use repurposed drugs. And I thought, ew.
Yuck.
Yuck.
Right.
Me either. Like, what is that supposed to mean? All and so you have to wait. It's not like repurposed tires. Yeah. You know, like that they're paving the streets with.
Yeah,
like, it's not like upcycling, you know, your egg carton.
What were they referring to this repurposed drugs? What were they referring to on Capitol Hill?
Yeah. So in the United States, drugs, the thing in the United States that people take sometimes for granted, although maybe not after this pandemic, thanks COVID, is that
probably two years after this pandemic, they will. Yeah. That's how we are. Right.
Right. So. Drugs in the United States are very reliable. And by that, I mean that when you go buy something, whether it's over the counter or prescription, your trust, you don't even hesitate. You don't even think, I wonder if what they're saying is in this bottle is what's in this bottle.
That's so foreign to everybody. Yeah, right. That's a good point. I never thought that, right?
Yeah. And you're not worried, like, did they kind of stretch this out to make more of it? Did they accidentally introduce a bunch of arsenic into it? Like, is this going to kill me just because of some mistake at the factory? Now, of course, those things can happen, right?
Yeah.
But by and large, the United States, because of the massive regulatory machine that we have, it really doesn't. And it keeps us safe.
Right.
And so when we talk about repurposed drugs, it means that what you're doing in the United States, this is a very much a United States issue, is you're taking a drug that has been approved and issued a label by the FDA. It is legal for use for a certain purpose in certain creatures, whether that's humans, dogs, cats, horses, cows, whatever. And ivermectin has not been labeled for use in humans to treat or prevent infection or disease caused by SARS coronavirus 2, which means that if you are prescribed it by your doctor, which is legal, it's called off-label use because the label doesn't say that you can do it. If you're prescribed it by your doctor, then that's the repurposing of a drug because you're using it for a different purpose, right? That doesn't seem as horrible as like used tires. Right?
No, it's just not a very good connotation with the, you know, I think it goes back to what was said, this guy took a horse dewormer, right? That sounds, that sounds like he just took some paste from the local co-op and ate it or something, right? Hey, it worked. Okay. Not a smart thing. I'm going to guess that's not exactly what happened. However, you know, that's sort of how it was portrayed because way it is in the press nowadays. And so,
yeah. And I also think what's interesting too, is that ivermectin is labeled for use in humans.
Absolutely.
In the United States.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's crazy, but it's actually used globally in humans.
Right.
And it's used for, parasites, right? Control of gastrointestinal parasites.
I said crazy because it's used a lot in veterinary medicine, right? A lot. And we hear about it. And so, vitamin I. So you talk to someone about ivermectin in a human, they're like, oh, it's an animal drug, right? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the whole point of this podcast, I think, to say, I think that the saying that drugs are drugs and bugs are bugs, it kind of goes to this. You're treating the bug, not the thing surrounding it. So if you know you have a parasite, a parasite, ivermectin works on parasites, whether it's in a dog, you know, a cat, a human, differently, albeit, but it's the same exact drug, you know, with the same exact, you know, mechanism of action. So,
yeah. And I think that's a good point, Jason. So,
good. It's my second one this year. Good point this year. I was getting close to the end. I didn't know if I was going to get a second one in.
So why don't you expand upon the bugs as bugs? Because with drugs as drugs, we've kind of beat that horse. But we've kind of beat that. So, what is bugs as bugs?
Well, it rhymes with drugs, and so I thought it would be great to say. But that's what you're taking all of these medicines for, is the bugs in your body. You diagnose you have some bacteria causing a problem, some virus causing, otherwise there's antiviral drugs, but they're not great. Mm-hmm. Some parasite causing a problem. Those are all the bugs, and they live in different parts of the body, but they live in different animals. And some of these bugs can infect dogs, cats, human, horses, cats. Some can usually only affect dogs, only affect horses, but the drugs who take care of them, whether it's in a human, a cow, you know, an okapi, are the same. You know, that's my point. The bugs are the same, so therefore the drugs to take care of them are also the same. Like your idea of one giant pot of drugs for everybody. That sounds really terrible, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're going to a party, but you know, we have a giant amount of drugs, and we use them for different things.
Okay, so we actually have some more to talk about this, because there's been so much misinformation in the press about it. And so we just want to make sure that it's clear. So hang with us. On the other side of the break, we're going to get into some of those specific differences and what you need to look out for. Hang on. Let's catch you guys on the other side.
With all the fuss happening in the pet food industry, why not invest in something to help guard against digestive health derangements in your pet? Full Buckets probiotics are formulated by veterinarians to support your pet's normal digestive health. Your pet's gut microbiome is integral to their immune system performance. Why not add Full Buckets daily dog or daily cat probiotic powder to your pet's daily routine? To curate, protect, maintain, and strengthen your pet's microbiome. Visit FullBucketHelp.com today to check out all of their veterinary strength supplements.
These View from Vet School, brought to you by the AVMA Trust. Veterinarian-inspired coverage protecting you through it all.
Hello and welcome to These View. Last weekend, I took a much-needed break from studying to meet a couple of friends from school for some fine dining. Shout out Applebee's. Actually, I prefer Harvey's, which is local, but never mind. Anyhow, there we were, having a good old time, living our best lives, and I noticed that some folks around us seemed to be staring a bit. I thought, could this possibly be because I've said the word diarrhea 3 times in a conversation involving dining? Or was it perhaps that some of the words started to sound a little out of this world, or at least not local Americana? So after checking and listening with some of my vet school friends, I started to notice that our words were getting a little Greek or Latin or both. So after confirming with my non-vet school enrolled fiance, Frank, he said my vernacular had started to become a little foreign to him. Now he speaks 3 languages, so that's really bad. Even he can't understand me. So as it turns out, vet students kind of speak Latin. That can be problematic if you're a phonetic person like me, where it's tapedom, not tapetum, because guess what? It's spelled tapedom. And that's how I have to trick myself into remembering something when I have to spell something correctly on an anatomy exam. But it turns out there's some tools out there that can help us all spell these things correctly, or at least so we can hear them more than one time, like in class, and pronounce them. So embrace your new vernacular, vet students. And other people out there, understand that some vet students are gonna sometimes say, or veterinarians for that matter, say some things that you're not quite on point on what they're saying. That's okay. Ask the question. I'm sorry, what was that word? Tapedom? Oh, and they should be saying tapetum, lucidum. Ask the question, people that don't speak Latin. And for those people that are learning how to speak Latin, learn how to communicate with people and not speak Latin as well. That's my view from vet school, from B.
All right. Well, welcome back to the chat room. Yeah. Thanks, B, for that. So it's interesting, Jason, that she brought up Latin. and Latin terms, right?
Man, don't bring up Latin with me. Man, I remember that. It was like a whole different language, right? I mean, it still is, but when you first get exposed to it, oof, it's it's like jumping into the deep end for sure.
It is. It is. But what I also find interesting, going back to this, what we're talking about today on this differentials is kind of that crossover, that intersection between human medicine and veterinary medicine, which everyone should be acutely aware of following the pandemic, right? Thanks, COVID. And that's another component of it because, I mean, we kill it now on Jeopardy when like medical terms is a category, right? Because it's the same,
right?
You know, the words are the same. And so when we talk about acute myocarditis, you know, the inflammation of the heart that was people were talking about as a potential side effect. When we talk about ivermectin, okay, I can't keep harping on that, but it's in the news, ivermectin. When we talk about the antibiotics that we were talking about and the bugs, largely those things are the same, except for a few kind of idiosyncrasies, a few outliers, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So things that are species specific.
And like outliers in the drugs and the bugs or both?
Both.
Right?
Of course it's both. Right. Of course it's both. Of course, because if you could just presume it was all the same across the board, you wouldn't need us, right?
This is true.
You just have the doctor.
It would doctor.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's some specific things. So when you are in your veterinarian's exam room and they're talking with you about pathogens, because I do get this a lot. People will ask me, you know, for instance, if their dog has diarrhea. Okay. And I'll tell them, well, it looks like it's a bacterial enteritis. So bacteria overgrowth, inflammation, causing inflammation, which is causing diarrhea. Right. And they'll say, oh my goodness, can I get it? Can our other dogs get it? And, you know, my response is, well, I mean, you could, but, you know, just kind of avoid eating the dog's poop. You know, well,
don't go lick up the puddle right now. Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah. And is it, you know, is it quote contagious to your other dog?
Right.
Not necessarily. You know, it's an overgrowth because of some sort of hiccup in the regulation of that crazy thing.
Dog, that individual,
yeah.
Right.
The microbiome, right? The good bugs that are in the gut of the dog or the person or the horse or whatever. And so, so not that one. But then there are ones that are of great import, right? Like, can we get through a podcast without saying influenza? No.
Not with you on board.
No, we can't. That's right. So influenza. Now, we don't have any documented cases of dogs or giving influenza to humans. However, we do have cases where people gave flu to the dog. There was a documented case of cats transmitting flu to a person, but it was a really, really intense situation with lots and lots of contact. It's really unlikely that your cat is going to give you influenza. However, if your dog or your cat has any respiratory ailment, don't hold them up by your face. Don't get all that schmutz in your face, friend, because even though it's not COVID-19, you don't want it.
Right. You wouldn't do it if that was a human. If that was one of your friend, if that was one of your friends sitting at your lunch table, right, with the wheezes and the drip, you would say, I love you, man. Go sit somewhere else. Don't breathe on me. Yeah. However, sometimes we forget that, you know, oh, I love you. And they put the dog right in their face. And it's the same. It's the same kind of thing. You know, a lot of bugs are picky what they want to, where they want to live. But sometimes they're not. And that's part of the issue.
So. Yeah, right. And we saw that. Remember at the beginning of this pandemic when it kind of flared up and they were worried because there was that. The first one was that dog in Hong Kong, right? That little Pomeranian, like an 18-year-old Pomeranian.
Right.
Yeah. But people, you know, people were concerned. They thought it had SARS coronavirus 2 that it was called, or novel coronavirus.
Yeah, at that point,
they were calling
novel
it.
Yeah.
And it did indeed have a positive test, but it did not apparently have true infection. So there was that, but then there's been a handful of cases where dogs, they thought had it and they did. It just turns out they're not very effective at transmitting it back to us, which is good.
Right.
So we don't have any cases where dogs have given it to people. And then all the ferrets and mink and all of that sort of thing came up. And then there was a paper recently, getting back to our current events theme, paper that was just recently published that they looked in four different states at the white free roaming white-tailed deer And 40 to 60% of them had positive antibody tests for COVID-19.
Oh my gosh. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but this whole pandemic really put a boom on some papers, right? It's just new bastion of like area to write some yep. papers. So listen, I we'll talk about the deer in just a minute, but I think you make a great point and maybe we'll make it some more. So the bug, like the SARS Corona, yep. The COVID-19 bug
yep.
is the same, but yep. it infected us and it infected ferrets yep. and cats more easily than maybe other animals. And yep. I think people need to realize, and they probably already do, but that's because, not because they like ferrets and cats and stuff, because the way they infect the biological organism, right, is this Ooh, is similar in both humans and all three of those species. That's yeah. sort of what we need to realize.
So down into the minutiae.
For my
nerd friends out there, right. It has to do, remember that spike protein that was all in the news?
Yep.
So the spike protein is the key that the virus inserts into the lock that is sitting on the outside of your cells, like in your lungs and your nose.
In your respiratory cells, yeah.
Yeah. And that lock is called the ACE2 receptor. Okay. Yeah. And so any creature that has a high population of ACE2 receptors on any type of cell is going to be likely susceptible to infection with SARS coronavirus 2.
Yeah.
And so
or more susceptible anyways than someone that has fewer or less or none. Right.
Right.
So,
and because that spike protein is the key that fits right into there and unlocks it. And then the virus goes in and hijacks the machinery and moves on. And in fact, that's why coronaviruses in general have an affinity or a preference for GI, right, intestinal and stomach infection and respiratory system infections, is because that's where we express those ACE2 receptors on those cells in the greatest number. So it shouldn't have surprised anybody that cats could get it, right? Because their cell population is just...
Right, it wasn't, right, yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing with ferrets. And mink are related to ferrets. And so there you go. It's interesting because I kind of wonder who's been hanging out so closely with the white-tailed deer, you know, that they picked it up. And what does that antibody titer mean? I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that means. That's a whole nother, 18 podcast to talk about what does this test actually mean. Mm-hmm. But the point was that it's not necessarily what's surrounding the biological being, it's what is good for the virus, right? What's good for the bacteria, what's good for whatever, that's where it goes. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we talk about drugs and bugs or bugs, because the bug is still the same. The drug that treats it is still the same, whether it's prescribed for, this or that or whatever.
Yep.
There's not specific, a vat of animal drugs versus a vat of human drugs. So
but I will tell you, so now, like everyone out there in the chat room, calm down, because there are significant regulations, could almost be an entire Them's the Rules episode on its own, significant regulations, and maybe we'll do that in the future, regarding the use of all drugs in anything intended for food. So in the United States, you can't just be giving any kind of drug you want. You even antibiotics. There's very few antibiotics you can give to things like fish.
They're pretty limited.
Like fish. There's only a couple of them you can use in fish. Cattle, can't use very many, right? Chickens, same thing. And even in the last 10 years.
Anything you eat, right? Yeah.
In the last 10 years, even, we've cut that back even further. Oh, bees, same thing with bees, because stuff can end up in the honey. And we don't want resistance, right? And so anyway, so there's all kinds of regulations about who can use what, when, and how. And it's largely based on physiology and the end use of the creature, right? Like Cosette can have any medication that is going to save her.
Right.
The Farm Fresh Frenchie needs to persist.
That's funny.
But, something that the population is going to consume, then that massive, covert, largely public health infrastructure in the United States is looking out for food safety with that. And so there's lots of...
As they should, probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because none of us are worried about anything. We go by the meat. Nobody is, because of that regulatory thing. So because of that fantastic crossover between the animal world and the human world. So,
mm-hmm. yep. Yep, it's big. Okay, so I think we've hit drugs and bugs, Jace. What do you think? Is that like any other final points you got on?
No, man. I just like my drugs or drugs and bugs or bugs. I think that's great.
I think that's great too.
But really, people ask that question a lot, right?
They do.
You can give this, and I had forgotten about having physicians, human physicians in the room, and especially with clavamoxin, you tell them it's augment, it's really fun.
Okay, yeah. So it's a lot of fun when you find yourself in those situations, but that's okay because it doesn't change the fact that drugs are drugs and bugs are bugs.
I didn't know you want me to say it again.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, I'm glad we got that all cleaned up, cleared up. And now everyone can move on and speak intelligently in social circles should they find themselves in one.
And more importantly, Dr. Jen the vet is now rid herself of that angst that she built up from hearing us. And now she's good to go.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Cathartic. Podcast.
It was. I appreciate that. Thank you guys, Chatterboxes, for allowing me to drag my soapbox out for a moment and talk about that. I think that's all we have today. And thanks, V, for your view. We like that too. Well, I guess that's it. I guess I'm Dr. Jen.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.